So have you noticed that I want you to love the catechism? I think it's so valuable. It's gold. Solid gold. And I didn't like it as a kid. Couldn't stand it. Because I didn't know what it was. I thought catechism meant a dictionary that I had to memorize. That's what I thought it meant. And I don't mean that like literally, right? But like literally, that's how it felt. And it wasn't until, sadly, I had made my way to the seminary that someone said, hey, read this large catechism thing. And one evening I finally did. And wow, were my eyes opened by Dr. Luther gently explaining, talking about, remembering for himself just three things. The Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. That is where the word catechism comes from. Those three things. Everything else is a explanation of that catechism, that ancient echo of the center of our faith. And if I can do one thing in my life, I want to get as many people as possible to just know that. Because at the center of that is Jesus. He's at the middle of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, not just figuratively, but literally. You can line it all up and like count backwards from both sides, and boom, there he is right in the center, dying for you. Now, one of the ways that I want to keep riffing on this idea and shoving it down your figurative throat is by giving you a little of that thing that first woke me up. Dr. Luther's own large German catechism, meaning his explanation of it, a little bit he wrote on it for a particular purpose. And at the time, it was the purpose of training formerly Roman Catholic priests to be Lutheran pastors. And by that, we mean these guys, these poor gentlemen who were out serving congregations as pastors, didn't even know the Lord's Prayer. Huh? And so he had to teach it to them, teach them why it's important. Ten Commandments, same thing. Creed, same thing. But you might think when someone says, oh, the large catechism is the catechism for pastors, you might think, oh, that means it's for like really, really hoity-toity people with lots of letters after their name, right? Big degrees, MDiv and stuff like that. No. We live in a tremendously educated age, and you have at your fingertips way more intellectual power than you probably realize. You can absolutely handle Large Catechism of Dr. Luther. So before, you know, rather than harp on that, I'm just going to read a little bit to you. I'm going to comment on it too. He starts off with a preface, just an introduction. Like, hey guys, hey guys, we should read this. He says, it is not for trivial reasons that we constantly treat the catechism and exhort and implore others to do the same. For we see that unfortunately many preachers and pastors are very negligent in doing so, and thus despise both their office and this teaching. I mean, geez, talk about a shot across the bow to open your conversation, right? First, it is not trivial. It is not a side issue that we, the Lutherans, the early reforming doctors, the noise out of Wittenberg, constantly treat the catechism. They're always talking about the same thing. And in this word, catechism, which again just rings deaf on our ears, doesn't it? But what do they mean? Constantly treat, constantly talk about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And we exhort and implore other people to also do this. To listen to the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer. To reflect on the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. To confess the Ten Commandments, Creed, and Lord's Prayer. To actually learn them so deeply that they stop being merely a list of things and become instead the foundation of your mind. Not things you think about, but things that you think with. Now, he says we constantly are doing this because we see, unfortunately, many preachers are negligent in doing this. Now, when they made their initial rounds after they'd been excommunicated and began checking on the areas and said, yep, we're with you Lutherans, we'll take the excommunication, they found that many preachers didn't know much about it. And doubly so, what were they being excommunicated for? In many ways, precisely for paying too much heed to the catechism. It's not so different today, is it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you go to the same church every week and you are heaven blessed to go to a Missouri Synod church that's faithful and clings to these things. Maybe you're heaven blessed to go to a Reformed or a Roman Catholic church that also talks about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis and points them all back to Jesus and his cross. I don't know. But I know I've visited a lot of churches in my lifetime. And, well, it's kind of crazy what's out there right now under the name of Christianity, under the guise of the word church. Really doesn't matter these days what's on the door. You got to go in and listen. And if you do, you might be surprised how little the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer enter into any of what goes on there, often under the name of the Holy Spirit, calling down all manner of new things, right? But how often it is that the old things, the eternal things, that dogma, wisdom, truth of Jesus, that word without which even the bread that we have is a waste. And notice how he says that when you do this, when a pastor does this, when he teaches something other than this, at least in Luther's mind, and you know, we can debate Luther if we want to, but in Luther's mind, they despise their office and this teaching. They despise their job. They want a different job. Because the job of preacher in the church is just this: law and gospel, word and sacrament, Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer. The job of healing Christians with words. The point of worshiping God around words is these words. And so, well, in our age when what works means more to us than what's true, when pragmatic is more important than dogmatic, sadly, you have a number of, well, preachers out there in this wide American Western world, right? The Wild West of American spirituality, who have realized that the best way to grow their church is not the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. It's certainly not the word catechism. Put that one on the door and people turn away. And so they despise this teaching and instead turn to some other thing. And it really doesn't matter what you fill in. You can put in anything you want, right? Because even good things, right? Let's just say family. We're the family church, right? And we're all about you and your family loving each other. Family's a good thing. But when you take a good thing and you put it in place of God's word, it ceases to be a good thing and becomes what the Bible calls an idol. You only have an idol by taking a good thing and using it wrongly. There is nothing created that's actually evil in and of itself. It's its use that makes it evil, right? It's how you turn it to your selfishness. As Luther actually says in the next sentence, some do this, right, despise their office by not teaching the catechism out of their great learnedness, while others do so out of pure laziness and concern for their bellies. So some come to believe they're just too smart for it, right? We got to move on. Got to move past this milk. Let's move on to the meat, right? Which means me, usually. Or they're kind of hoity-toity. Oh, well, the Bible is written by monks in the Middle Ages, and we're not so sure we can trust what it says at all. And after all religions are the same, right? That kind of, I can't do the German accent quite the way that Horace would, but you get what I'm saying, right? Out of great learnedness, you get to be too smart for the word. The very thing the proverb this morning like warned you not to do, right? Being wise in your own eyes and all that. So there's that half of it, and then there's the pure laziness and concern for your own belly. That's what I was talking about earlier, right? I got to put food on the table, so I better change the teaching to make the people keep coming. They, Luther says, approach the task as if they were pastors and preachers for their stomach's sake, and had nothing to do but live off the fat of the land, as they were used to doing under the papacy. I mean, I don't think I can say anything meaner than that, right? Like, I'm partially, like, a little nervous. Like, maybe you're listening, like, this is hate speech or something like that, right? But, like, you can't. Luther, it's just Luther, right? and how insulting to us, to everyone, right? He's accusing all of us, even of our moments of weakness, of effectively worshiping our bellies. And it's true. I know I felt this pull when I was in the parish, when I had to say something that was what Scripture actually said, and then there was a good, blessed, kind, most of the time, member who didn't like it and would stand there, teeth gritted at me. Pastor, I don't like this. And the pastor's, you know, he's torn. Do I serve my belly right now and back off and make it easy? Now, Luther is writing this text precisely for all of us, that we would be comforted and certain in those moments, that we would even know, as we said earlier this morning, that the belly is not all that there is, that the bread which goes into the belly is not the real bread. It's not the thing by which we live. Luther goes on in the next paragraph. He says, everything that they are to teach, meaning Lutheran pastors, is now so very clearly and easily presented in so many salutary books, which truly deliver what the other manuals promised in their titles, sermons that preach themselves, sleep soundly, be prepared. Yet they are not upright and honest enough to buy such books, or if they have them already to consult or read them. Oh, these shameful gluttons and servants of their bellies are better suited to be swineherds and keepers of dogs than guardians of souls and pastors. Now tell me, when I say the word to you, you ought to read the Large Catechism. Did you expect in the first two paragraphs to have someone say these shameful gluttons and servants of their bellies are better suited to be swineherds and keepers of dogs? I mean, you got to at least laugh at that, right? It's like, holy moly, Luther, calm down, man. We're not going to win anybody over with this kind of talk, you know? But there's something refreshing about it in our overly tolerant age, isn't there? And where tolerance doesn't mean tolerate, but means, you know, ignore. I'll let everything go. There's something refreshing about a man who believes what he says and actually considers it important enough to get a little heated on the matter. And the point of this paragraph, like a preacher who wants to preach the actual law and gospel of God from the Scriptures has more resources today. I mean, Luther's talking in his time, but today is even doubly so. More resources today than you can shake a stick at. So many books. So many good books. I mean, there's plenty of bad books too, but so many good books. And yet, what's the accusation? They would rather not read the book that tells them what's true. They would rather read the book that tells them what works. They would rather read the book that gets them to serve their bellies again. And he remembers then how, under the papacy, the spread of wealth kind of trickled down into these higher vocations of holy living in the monasteries. Well, they lived better than the peasants did. And that's what they are longing for. Isn't that what we're longing for? And so his words rightly are applied to all of us in a sense. Shameful gluttons, are we not? Servants of our bellies, are we not? Better suited to be swineherds and keepers of dogs than guardians of souls and pastors. Now, not everyone's a pastor. And you got to apply this then kind of a little bit differently, though. But if we would be Christians, just Christians, do we not need the thing that makes us Christian? And the thing that makes us Christian is not the thing that works to make people happy all the time, no matter what. It's not the thing that works to please everybody. I just saw it as a common sense thing out of a secular proverb the other day. If you're pleasing everybody, then you're doing something wrong, the guy said. This was not a Christian saying this, but his old wisdom, right? He was implying you're even dishonest. You have to be, because nobody can please everybody. How much less, then, the actual law and gospel of God? And its true, condemning word, and its saving word, which just as much leaves you not saved by yourself. We'll come back to the Large Catechism again. We're not done. But for the morning, you know, just hold this idea. It's not for trivial reasons that Luther constantly talked about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer in that word catechism. nor is it for a trivial reason that I want to share it with you.